Hello, New Life Church. How's everybody doing here this morning? Come on, if you love Jesus, let's give God praise all in the house here. I got to tell you, it's always an honor to be here at our Greater Little Rock campus. But this morning, we also have our Conway campus to join us as well. So I'm going to ask all of you here at the Greater Little Rock campus, let's welcome all those that are in Conway right now. We welcome you guys. Well, guys, I don't know about you, but every now and then in the DeLawin home, especially when my kids got older in them teenage days, we would have to call the infamous family meeting. Now, how many of you parents know what I'm talking about here? Well, we would just sit around there, and all of a sudden we said, hey, we got to start meeting. We got to start talking a little bit. And so what I would do is I would try to gather the kids. We'd sit around the table, and what I would do is I would try to really challenge them with this one thought, and that is, what's most important in the DeLawin home? And we would kind of talk through some things that always, you know, times it went well, sometimes it didn't go well, but we were laying back on these two things, and that is our faith and the call that God had on our family. But I don't know about you guys, but there were many times raising our kids that we had to do these infamous family meetings. Why? Because life, as we said, it gets what, guys? It gets busy. And there's times when I was raising my kids, I never knew if we were coming or going. How many of you parents, y'all can relate to that? And there were times we would get off track. We would get distracted just simply by this thing called life. And there were many times we just simply have to do a reset. And to do a reset, though, we had to say no to some things so we could say yes to God. But you know, guys, the same can be true about our church family. The same can be true about you coming and going from church. And there's times where God's given us a vision, but over time it can get easily blurred or even at times lost. How many of you ever lost at some point vision in your life? Come on, be honest. We've all been there. You know, the reality is we come in church, we're encouraged, we're building each other up, but Monday cometh, right? And when Monday comes, all hell, it seems like, breaks loose that is aimed directly at us. Y'all can relate to that. It's called life. You got the kids, you got laundry, we got the dogs, right? Plural in some of our homes. You got homework. You got one game after another. One kid's in soccer, one's in football, one's decided to play piano, and one's decided to learn how to throw darts, right? It's just all there. And the bills, everything gets consuming to us. And what happens is we drift. And we drift from what's most important in our life, and that is the calling of God. That is why it's so important we share vision as a church. That's why it's so important as a team here. We're constantly sharing with you the why behind the what, because we can all lose it. It's the why behind what we do that's most important, and that is vision. And here's what I want y'all to catch throughout this series that we've been aiming at. Vision gives all of us, that's you and me, a chance, here's the deal, to reset our life, to reset our priorities and our commitments, and make sure, here's the cool thing, we want to make sure that they align with the call of God on our life. So, what we've been sharing is vision. And I can go all the way back to the early days, Pastor Rick and I, and our heart of the church we see. It's the same church we see today. Can I have an amen? We've talked about this. The church we see a church that has a hunger for God and His Word. We see a church that's led by the Spirit of God. Last week, we talked to you, we see a church that's making room for the next generation. And everybody said, amen to that. Well, this weekend, I want to aim this message towards, we see a compassionate church that is always on mission. Everybody say mission. It's a unique word. But here's what I want you to think about when it comes to mission. And I want everybody to kind of focus in on this. And I want to start with this question. And that is, here's the question. What is the one aspect of this broken world, I want y'all to catch this. When you see it, when you get near to it, it moves you to the very heart of God, and then it causes you to take action. What is it? When you look at this broken world, when you see lost people, when you see hurting people, when you see people that are down and out, when you see a widow that's lost her husband or this or that, whatever it is, what do you see in this broken world that totally moves your heart where you say, I have to do something about it? That's mission. That's vision of what we're hitting on here today. You know, Marcy and I can vividly remember 28 years ago, one time we were hanging out with one of our particular students in school. His name was Paul. And Paul was constantly getting in trouble. He was failing all of his classes. One reason was he didn't know how to read. But no one ever took the time to really discover that. And so here's Paul constantly getting in trouble. And one day Marcy and I said, you know what? We're just going to take him home. I want to kind of see his world. And so Marcy and I, we went to his house. I will never forget this. On Rodeo Drive, right there in Denham Springs, Louisiana, we drive up to his house. And the house he pointed to, he says, here's my home. His house was unfinished. There was no power to the house. As a matter of fact, when we walked in, obviously, no air conditioner. Did I mention this is southern Louisiana? And then there was this refrigerator that we were bringing some food. But guess what? The refrigerator wasn't on. It was wide open. And there were flies there. There were roaches there. I would never forget the multitude of kids that were in and out of that house. And finally, as we walked in the home and we walked towards the back, we were introduced to his mom. And as we walked to the back of that room, I will never forget that woman that was strung out on dope, laying there out of her mind and thinking, this is his mom? That's what we walked into. That day, the sight, the smell, the chaos, the pain, thinking, how in the world is this kid supposed to engage in school while all he's trying to do is just simply survive? That moment changed our life forever. And even to this day, more importantly, it shaped who my family is today. Someone was reminding me this this past week, and they said, you know, you ought to share a little bit about your family. But I can tell y'all, my wife along with my kids, they don't want the spotlight on them. But what they do behind the scenes, guys, to me is what church is all about. The way that they reach people that are in pain, the way that they go after people who are hurting day in and day out. When all said and done, that's the church that we see. It's a church that's reaching out for those people. My wife has taught me many, many times, demonstrating the love of God on a personal level is one of the most important ways and one of the best ways that we can truly reach people with the message of Jesus Christ. So I want to ask y'all again here, what moves your heart? What breaks you to a point that you're looking towards God and saying, God, I have to do something about this? Let's go to the Word here and let's look at Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, we look at verse 10. And I want y'all to catch this here. He says, it is God himself who made us what we are. Did y'all catch that? It's God who's made you who you are. And then he goes on, he says, he gives us this new life from Christ Jesus. Long ages ago, he planned that we should, catch this, guys, that we should spend these lives helping others. Did y'all catch that? That we should spend these lives going after others. What are you spending your life on today? Are you living a life beyond yourself? Because at the end of this life, there is no doubt we're going to have to stand before God and give an account to what we've done with our life. All of our time, all of our energy, and all of our resources, God's going to look and say, did we spend it on ourselves? Or did we just spend it on reaching souls for Christ? Just let that sink in for a moment. I think about this often. Am I building my kingdom or am I building God's kingdom? Here at New Life Church, again, Our mission is very simple. We want to reach people with a life-giving message to see them become fully devoted followers of Christ. And the first part of that statement, it's all about reaching. God's a God that's about reaching souls. Going back to our story, this young man named Paul, all he wanted was to be noticed. All he wanted was to be valued. All he wanted was to be loved. And all we simply did was reach out to him. My wife fed him. My wife clothed him. My wife educated him. And before you know it, Paul had hope in his life again. And then the next thing I knew, my wife was taking in all kinds of kids into our home. Compassion's contagious. Can I have an amen? Church, we got to do both. We proclaim the gospel, but we also demonstrate the gospel. In John chapter 13, Jesus was talking here to his disciples, and one of the things that he did is literally as they gathered together, he bent down and he washed their feet. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, what he was doing is he was modeling truly what a servant is. He bent down those dusty feet, and he washed them. Sometimes you're going to get dirty when it comes to compassion. Sometimes it's going to go maybe against the grain of really what you thought you were, having you do things that you never thought you would do. Compassion, I tell you, it'll get a hold to you. And one thing we know in the Scriptures, it says that Jesus didn't come to be served, but to serve. Jesus modeled what leadership was all about. And because of that, we saw thousands and thousands of people coming to Jesus. He had a different religion than what they were used to. It was called love, it was called compassion, and it was called grace. In Matthew chapter 7, one of the greatest sermons ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus spoke all these things, and it said here, as he was speaking that message, it said that the crowds were amazed at his teaching. Why? Because Jesus taught it. But again, he also demonstrated it. We read on right after Matthew there in chapter 7, verse chapter 8. We see also he reached them right where they were. Jesus literally, if you read in the Gospels, he touched the untouchable. He healed the man with leprosy. He ministered to a centurion servant who was paralyzed. He touched and healed Peter's mother-in-law. How many of y'all know our mother-in-laws, they might need a little prayer, right? All right, don't raise your hand on that one, okay? But going back to this greatest sermon ever preached, I want y'all to catch this. Matthew chapter 5, again, let's back up. As he started this whole sermon, here's what he says, Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. I want you to note two things real quick there. It says, let your light, and it says, do good works. Your light, y'all catch this here. Your light is a direct reflection of what God has done on the inside of you. And your good works is allowing God to work through you. So it's what God's done in you, he also wants to do through you, and that's called compassion ministry. That's how God's aimed all of this. It starts with compassion. Matthew chapter 9, right after this again, the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus begins to talk to his disciples. In verse 36, it says, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them. Why? Because they were harassed and they were helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. You know this word, harassed and helpless? It translates really to give us a picture. It's someone who is weary, someone that's been beaten down, someone that's in total despair, someone that's just simply panting to survive. What did Jesus see? One of my prayers that I try to pray, and again, I definitely don't get this always right, but it's, God, break my heart for what breaks your heart. God, let me see people as you see people. This word compassion, it means to show pity on. It means to love others. It means to show mercy. It means to be tenderhearted. And guess what? It also means to be kind. Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, be kind to me. We need some kindness up in the church. This is our calling, church. And I want y'all to catch this, guys. God will never waste your past. Your past pain, think about it. For most of us, it led us to Christ. But your past pain also gave you a lens to look at this world in a totally different perspective. It's the lens of compassion. That's what being on mission is all about. Now, I'm going to ask my friend Tony Phillips to come up here. Tony, come on, let's give it up for Tony. Tony is our executive director. He leads a lot of our outreach and compassion ministry here at New Life Church through CityServe Arkansas. And again, incredible man of God, gave up a career and decided to say yes to the call. And I got to tell you, I'm so proud of the work that he and his team is doing. So again, one more time, let's give it up for Tony Phillips, guys.
Good morning, church. How's everybody doing? Can you hear me? Good, good. Man, it is so good to be here. I was telling my wife, sitting there, I was like, I'm getting all emotional. I'm going to get kicked off the security team if I get up there and get all emotional. It is so good to be here today. As Darren said, when we think about moving to compassion and what that looks like, I never thought in a million years I would be here today doing compassion ministry, helping people. I've always loved people and always wanted to help people. But God's the only one that knew he wanted to use me, through me, to help people. And hopefully this morning, I'm just going to take a few minutes to tell you a little bit about CityServe, our heartbeat, who we are, who we are called to serve, because it is clear biblically who we are called to serve, how our church partners across the entire state of Arkansas, how they are doing, and really how you guys can get plugged in. If you turn with me to Isaiah 58:12, and it says, "And your ancient ruins shall rebuild. You shall raise up the foundation of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to dwell in." And when you think about those words, rebuild, repair, restore, that's what we're called to do. The church, outside these four walls, in communities. Darren said, getting dirty, not thinking what you were going to do, but what you are going to do. And as you look up here on the screen, we have our 10 CityServe compassion initiatives. And I want you to sit here and reflect a little bit and think about who you, your family, your life group, who are you called to rebuild, to restore, or to repair? I want to talk about a few of them, and I'm going to start with the poor. In Proverbs 19:17, whoever is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and we shall reward them for what they have done. And when you think about that, lends to the Lord, it is clear God's view of our obedience upon the poor is as direct ministry to God himself. Are we lending our time, our talents, our resources? What are we lending to the poor? And when we think about our state here, Arkansas, we rank 5th in the nation, and this is not a top 5 that we want to be. We rank 5th in the nation in poverty. 16% of Arkansans, 480,000 people live below the poverty line here in our state. I don't know about you, it's an and for that community. When you think and or, I got to buy diapers or pay the light bill. I got to pay the light bill or I need to buy food. I need to buy food for my family or I need to pay the car payment. This community, when you think about that, and out of the 480,000 people, 100,000 of those are kids. Kids living below the poverty line. And when we think about compassion and we think about kids, the next one is hungry. When you look here and you think about hungry, you think about that initiative, and comes top of mind is our Dream Center. The Dream Center has been serving in our community for 13 years, paving the way, being consistent. It's raining, they're out there, mobile, after school program. The Dream Center serves 17 communities across the state, hunger relief, education enrichment, mentoring opportunities, and connecting with the local church. 1 in 5 kids go hungry. They don't know where their next meal is. They don't know when they're going to eat. 420,000 people go hungry. They don't know when they're going to eat. We rank 45th in the nation. Arkansas ranks 45th in the nation when it comes to this compassion initiative. And the last one, the addicted. This one is near and dear to our heart. This one for CityServe. We get to work alongside men every single day. Our M18 recovery group, 5 days a week, Tuesday through Saturday, they are the hands and feet. We would not be where we're at today without this ministry. Union Rescue Mission, Nehemiah House, these guys serve consistently every single Tuesday in the warehouse, picking orders, loading up churches, loving on people. And when we think about addiction, here in our state in Arkansas, 250,000 Arkansans struggle with addiction. 250,000 people struggle with some type of addiction. And when we think about the CityServe, what I like to think about is really we have seen guys 2 days coming off a detox to now serving their family and leading their family. We have seen our Redeem Ministry program. Yes. We have seen our Redeemed program is our downtown campus. They started with 12 people. And my wife and I actually got to go Friday night, and I'll probably get emotional. There was 50 people in there. 50 people in there getting redeemed. And I want to talk about a young man. If you guys know where our warehouse is, it's off of Roosevelt behind the Pulaski County Sheriff's Department. What better place to be, right? We have one of our doorways that faces the actual jail. And I had one of our guys just kind of standing there looking at the jail. And I went up to him and I said, "Hey, bro, what's up, man? What's going on?" He said, "Man, Tony, you see that window, that pod down there on the end? I never thought I was going to be on this side. And look where God has placed me." The same young man is facilitating and leading our Redeem program. And for me, this is my why. This is my why, to see restoration, redemption. And as you'll see up here on the screen as we kind of finish up, I just want to kind of talk about, we have 202 churches across the state. We work with 10 different denominations. It's the church. It's all of us. We're in 68 cities across the state. We're in 43 of 75 counties. These churches are serving, consistent, building relationships. Without a relationship, it is just stuff, right? And as I finish up, and we'll call Marcus up here, for us at CityServe, for every single dollar that the church spends, we can turn that into $18 to $22 worth of resources for the local church across the state. And what's been amazing to see in the last 8 months, just this year, 2022, we have been able to resource through and to the local church across the entire state, $8.7 million. In church, I just want to say thank you for supporting us. What is your why? Who are you going to be rebuild, restore, repair? What does that look like for you? What breaks your heart? And anytime you want to come serve with us, just bring it.
Amen.